Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
Many of you, as you listen to this lesson this morning, are on your way to worship. A worship provided for you by a shepherd by the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to study with you this morning some things about that shepherd, the shepherd that we love, the shepherd that laid down his life for us. My prayer for you this morning, as you worship the shepherd, as you remember his death, burial, and resurrection, as you sing praises to God, is that you'll do it well, according to your own ability, that you'll do it in such a way that God, when he looks into your heart, will see pure motives, that God will be honored, that you will recognize the fact that he is king and you are a servant, and that you will receive from your worship today energy, energy to fight off the temptations that will be laid before you by Satan, energy to let a bright light shine to those who desperately need Jesus Christ in their life. That's my prayer for you this morning. Many of you may have a Bible with you this morning, and if you have opportunity to turn to the 10th chapter of the book of John, that will be our text. Our text will begin in verse 1 of that chapter and end at the end of verse 18. Jesus spoke these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, then he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." To those words of Jesus, the Apostle John responds this way: "This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were that he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again." And now we have the explanation from Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not an owner of the sheep, beholds a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He does this because he's a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd." Just as a side note on verse 16, if you study Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28, it will identify what this flock is about which Jesus is speaking. It's the church. Now again, picking up our reading in verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that it may be taken again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. When you study that verse, doesn't it put within your mind questions concerning why Jesus might use the analogy of a sheep with a shepherd? Well, it did with me, and several years ago when I put together this lesson, I first did some study on the animal called sheep, and I found some interesting things. That animal is quite unique in its characteristics. That animal needs constant guidance, or it'll get lost. It's not self-sufficient. It needs guidance. Jesus knew that. That's why in Matthew 26 and verse 31, Jesus went back and took a text out of Zechariah, the 13th chapter and verse 7, and he said, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad." You see, without the shepherd to provide that guidance, the characteristic of the sheep is they'll get lost, they'll be scattered abroad. I also learned in my study about sheep that it's a very defenseless animal and needs protection, much more so than many other animals. Jesus used that knowledge to teach another lesson. In Matthew the 10th chapter and verse 16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, not only does sheep have unique characteristics, but shepherds have a unique relationship with their flock. The good shepherd will know and love his sheep. We're not talking about just a superficial relationship. We're talking about something that is between a very close-knit group. We think about a boy and his dog and the friendship that is in there. And while I don't think that matches the magnitude of the friendship that Jesus has with the church, it sort of gives us an idea of what Jesus is talking about here. It's the kind of love and knowledge about the sheep that he uses and is recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 15, beginning in verse 3. It's a parable that Jesus spoke. Verse 4 says, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds him? And when he found, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Or that woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not she light a lamp and sweep the house and carefully searching until she finds it? Well, indeed. Two illustrations given by Jesus in Luke the 15th chapter that shows us just how closely this relationship is between Jesus and the sheep. In our text, and if you'll remember, that's in John the 10th chapter, the first 18 verses. In our text, in verse 11, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, and I believe that he's called that for two specific reasons. First of all, he's a perfect provider for the flock. And second, he's a perfect protector. That brings to mind 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, where the Bible says, "For ye were going astray like sheep, but now are returned under the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Jesus is a perfect provider. Why is that so? Well, first of all, we can see that he speaks of that in our text as one who entereth in by the door. That would mean a lot to us today. Not many of us, I think, are sheep herders, but it meant a lot to those people to whom it was first spoken. In Palestine, they had what they called a common fold. That's where sheep from different shepherds would be put into a, a place for protection, and they would be in there intermingling and together. Usually that was near a big city. The shepherds would come and go into the city in order to do the things that were needed to be done. And during the time that they were away from their flock, these sheep would sort of spend the night under the direction of a steward that would keep track of and would keep these sheep safe. That steward also in the history of the Hebrews would be called what we might say to be a porter. He would watch as the shepherds slept even. And early the next morning, the shepherd would come from wherever he was to get his sheep. He would come to this common fold in order to retrieve his flock. And the porter would recognize that shepherd, and he would let him into the compound. And that shepherd would call, and the sheep would recognize his voice and follow him into the pasture. A lot of times, those shepherds would sing a song, and the sheep, in hearing the voice, would recognize that. Now, anyone that got into the compound other than through the door, that is, other than through the scrutiny of the porter, was a thief or a robber. And thus, in our text, we read in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." What a beautiful lesson is taught in that passage. Only Jesus was qualified to call his own. Well, Jesus not only entereth in by the door, but he calleth his own sheep by name. That's in verse 3 of chapter 10. And before you can provide for any animal, you have to know about him. And the more you know about, perhaps you might say, the breed of the animal or the specific animal himself, the more you know about him, the easier it is to have a relationship with that animal. You need to know about this animal's needs and what makes this animal perform up to a stated or a desired capability. I remember that in 1979, we lived for 1 year in Missouri at a little town called Odessa, which is 30 miles east of Kansas City. And we had a place that had 10 acres of land. And we had a horse. My daughter had always wanted a horse, being raised in the city. So we bought her a horse. I would have to tell you that horse was not my favorite animal. It seemed to me that every time I got around that horse, something that was aggravating would happen. I'd try to put a saddle on that horse, and he'd suck up a bunch of air and make his stomach big. And then when I would step in the stirrup to get on the saddle, he'd let that air out. And, of course, the saddle would turn on the horse, and I'd end up on my backside. And just a lot of things. He'd turn around and try to bite me, and I just wasn't a fan of that horse. But I knew a man by the name of Howard Sneathen. Now, Howard Sneathen was from Upper State New York, and he was in the same kind of business as I was. But his love, his passion were for his horses, and he came to visit one time. And my wife, early one morning, said, "Come look out the window quickly." So I went over and I looked out, and there was Howard on this horse that I owned, and it looked like a Tennessee Walker. Everything that Howard wanted that horse to do, that horse was doing. So I had used that illustration to say that Jesus was qualified to know his own because he knows us. He just has the ability to know what makes us tick. A shepherd hardly ever left his flock. It makes you wonder sometimes when within the body of Christ, the leadership, which the Bible refers to as shepherds from time to time. It makes you wonder when a congregation of the Lord's people has a leadership that are virtually gone most of the time. How can a shepherd lead a flock when gone most of the time? Well, aside from that, this shepherd that Jesus is identifying himself as would hardly ever leave the flock. Jesus was uniquely qualified to provide man's spiritual needs. We see that in John the second chapter, verses 24 and 25. Again, I ask you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. There the Bible says, "But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." So then, we see the analogy. As the flock, as the church, Jesus knows us. He knows what is within us. And for that, he knew all men because he needed that knowledge in order to be the good shepherd. And thus, why would we worry as mankind? For your heavenly Father knoweth your needs, is how Jesus put it in Matthew 6 and verse 32. We live in a material-crazed society. It's a precious blessing in that society that Jesus knows my name for who I am and not for what I have. I heard a story that I thought was meaningful but funny this past week. A fellow was driving down the road and had an accident in his car, and he was thrown from the vehicle. And when the emergency personnel came, he was laying alongside, and he was just screaming, "My Porsche, my Porsche, my Porsche." And the attendant said, "Sir, you just need to forget about your car. Your arm is missing." And he started saying, "My Rolex, my Rolex, my Rolex." Well, doesn't that tell us a little bit about the value that we put on things? Isn't it wonderful that those of us who don't have as many things as other people have someone that's our shepherd that knows us for who we are? We may never have a name on a deed for land. We may never have a name that's read in a history book, but we have a name that is known by Jesus, and that name is a Christian. To his disciples, Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 20, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Well, Jesus is a perfect provider because his sheep hear his voice, according to verse 3 of our text. The shepherd had a clear and a distinctive voice. The Word of God is clear and distinctive. The voice of Jesus is clear and distinctive. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul wrote that all Scripture is inspired of God, and it's able to make man perfect unto all good works. To be healthy, mankind must have a balanced diet. That's true not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual. The gospel for mankind is that spiritual diet. You and I need to hook up to the positive and the negative parts of that gospel, much like we would to a battery to make the car run. We need to hook up to the word of Jesus Christ and through that have a balanced diet. Too much preaching, either on the positive or the negative, is not good. It leaves a Christian malnourished. So Jesus has a clear and a distinctive voice. But he's also a perfect provider because he leadeth them out and goeth before them. Verse 4 of our text. He took the lead. He provides a perfect path to follow. Peter encouraged downcast servants. He said, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." That's 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. The steps of Jesus left a pathway that is remarkably clear. When you're in your worship service this morning, expect to hear a clear message of truth, a message that can be followed and obeyed by everyone to whom is amenable to that message. Jesus left clear footprints. According to Hebrews, the second chapter and verse 10, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. In the army, the soldiers follow those who are their captain by looking at the example that they set. The same way is true with regard to Jesus. We follow in his footsteps because of the example that he set. Jesus is a perfect provider because he has faithful assistance in that providing. Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. The leaders of the church today, then, we might call under-shepherds, those who tend the flock locally. Thus, part of God's provision for his children is physical leadership. I read in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give an account." Certainly, in all things that are a matter of choice, the leaders of the flock, the shepherds of the body of Christ in the physical today, have the right to decide, and you and I as members of the flock have the responsibility to follow. Jesus is also, as we said earlier, a perfect provider because he layeth down his life for the sheep. When the sheep couldn't reach because of time restraints, that compound about which we spoke earlier, they would be led by the shepherd into a box canyon, and they would be put in there, and then the shepherd would close the mouth of that canyon with rocks or tumbleweed and would leave an opening just the same as his height, and he would lay down between those enclosures and thus make that box secure for the sheep. And that's where you get the saying, "over my dead body." In order for the wolves or those that would attack the sheep to get into that box canyon and do harm to the flock, they would have to go over the body of the shepherd. Spiritual protection is available today. That protection is in Jesus Christ. And armor is available to keep us safe from the devil. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, is how Paul put it in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. That protection produces hope within the flock. Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." A fortress of faith built by worship and study and fellowship and prayer. A quality that binds those together as the flock. And that quality, that binding, that super glue stick-to-itiveness that builds us, that binds us together, can be referred to as love. Jesus is our perfect protector. He doesn't leave the sheep. Not like a hireling, not like a part-time shepherd. He's with us all of the time. And the result of knowing that is that we can understand Romans 8 and verse 31, which says, "For God, if God is for us, who can be against us? And again, in Romans 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from his love? Jesus also, as a perfect provider, has faithful assistance. As we talked about the elders or the bishops of the church earlier, they are to encourage and to build us up through the things that they plan and design for us. Whether that be the Bible classes that are a part of the worship service, or the personal work groups, or the preaching of the truth, or the gospel meetings that are held, whether it's clear and timely discipline that is exercised, the elders of the church provide a physical assistance to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I hope these thoughts have been meaningful to you, and that you'll take opportunity today to at least consider coming and visiting our worship service. We're the Church of Christ that meets at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. You'll be welcome. Bring your Bible. Check us out. Have a nice day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.